RN's White Paper, a free monthly digital magazine. Subscribe at our homepage.
Hi there, Edwina Farley with you for A Country Breakfast on RN. Do we have a lip-smacking treat in store for you?
Well, we're going to start with alpaca brain ravioli, served with a quinoa broth, braised shiitake mushrooms, and some baby rocket on top. Then the next course is an alpaca neck terrine with cherries, sour cherries.
It's the alpaca from head to tail and like you've never experienced later in the program. But Tony Allen joins us first with the week in rural news. And Tony, quite a bit of extra money for drought-affected farmers this week.
Yes, the federal government has found an extra $100 million to give or to offer to drought-affected farmers in New South Wales and Queensland, where the drought is still biting the hardest. It had previously offered drought assistance at a rate of about 4% over 5 years for concessional loans for farmers. But now they've found some more money from funding that wasn't allocated in the farm finance package that Labor set up. The Agriculture Minister, Barnaby Joyce, says this is a better deal. Farmers will be able to apply for loans of up to $1 million over 10 years at an initial interest rate of just 3.2%.
When we came to government, there was no drought policy. We had apparently a miraculous event in the previous government where they said the droughts were over and it was all fixed. We had to construct from the bottom up drought policy. And we are doing that and you're seeing that.
Well, it's interesting that he should say that because the National Farmers Federation this week released its own suggested drought relief policy, which, among other things, calls for less paperwork for farmers, no cuts to rural counselling, more money for water infrastructure and pest control, and it says loan periods for drought money should be increased to 15 years and interest rates should be as low as 2.5%. Now, interestingly, Brent Finlay says the NFF is working towards a long-term drought policy, as is the government, but it's proving a bit difficult.
We're trying to have that discussion, and I know there are certain members in the parliament that are. Again, it's a unique political climate at the moment. There are so many things that are in play, and drought keeps getting pushed to the side.
There's also a shortage of organic grain caused once again by the drought. Now, organic grain production had been affected already by some of the big corporate growers pulling out of organics, but the dry conditions are expected to cut this year's crops. And it's not just for people who eat organic grain that it's a problem. Andrew Monk from Australian Organic Limited says the problem is really feed grain for organic livestock, including chicken, eggs, pork and dairy.
Some producers have said to us, look, we've probably got the next year's contract sorted out. We are definitely concerned beyond that at the moment. Some of them are saying, I can't now confidently grow my business any further than what I currently have without further surety, and that's not good for an industry within a broader marketplace that's growing quite significantly.
And it's not the only industry struggling with supply. Honey is also in a bad way.
Yes, so we have mentioned before that there's a national honey shortage because of dry conditions on the Australian mainland. Our volumes across Australia fell by half this year to 13,000 tonnes of honey. And Tasmania, which is a big honey producer, has been trying to meet some of the demand, but Tasmanian beekeepers have already sold out of their gourmet product, leatherwood honey, so much so that they've stopped exporting it to everywhere except the United States to make sure there's enough leatherwood honey for Tasmania. It's quite a rare thing, the leatherwood honey, only produced in certain areas, including Mole Creek in northern Tasmania. And beekeeper Shirley Stevens there says she's never seen a season as desperate as this.
We are out of honey, never been out of leatherwood before that I can remember, but the orders have been fantastic. A wonderful situation to be in, but I'd rather be able to supply them. We could see it coming in June, so we stopped all export orders except for the United States. Honey we had left has been kept for the local trade.
Now, we've touched on for some time the idea from Liberal Senator Chris Back that there would be an animal welfare bill addressing various issues nationally regarding animal welfare, which is usually something left up to the states. What did we find out this week?
Well, Senator Back from Western Australia is going to introduce a bill next year, early next year, that will require anyone with footage of animal cruelty to hand it to authorities within 5 days. He argues that if you do uncover a breach of animal welfare, it's in the animal's best interest to highlight it immediately rather than hold on to the footage. And he's accusing animal rights groups of keeping footage to release at convenient moments to the media for political reasons, not for animal welfare reasons. His bill will also include, as yet undisclosed, criminal penalties for anyone who trespasses on farms, damages property, or causes harm to animals, people, or trade. Now, there's a fair chance this bill is going to get passed because Labor agrees with it in principle at least, but it wants to see the detail of the bill before deciding whether to support it. But the Greens won't be supporting it. Greens spokesperson on animal welfare, Senator Lee Rhiannon, says it's an attempt to gag animal activists.
By far the majority of farmers do the right thing. They love and they care for their animals. But there still is a role for undercover investigators to expose animal cruelty. And that's what Senator Back is attempting to shut down.
And the RSPCA is also against the bill, saying that if they really cared about animal welfare, Senator Back would have consulted the RSPCA in drawing it up. But quite a few farmers, including Peter Bradford, who's a free-range pork producer from Western Australia, support the legislation, and he says that cruelty should be exposed immediately.
There's not much point allegedly gathering a lot of bad treatment, inhumane treatment on animals, and then sitting on it for 6-12 months down the track or outside the statute of limitations when there's no recourse. If somebody's doing something cruel to animals, deal with it straight away.
An interesting development in the northern prawn industry relating, I suppose, really to climate change.
Yes, if you looked at the boat owned by Tropic Ocean Prawns, you probably wouldn't notice anything different, but it's actually quite a revolutionary thing. This trawler is being funded by the Australian Seafood Cooperative Research Centre with a new refrigeration system that will use better and less expensive gases for refrigeration. Now, in 2016, the R22 gas, which currently powers these refrigeration system, is being phased out. So they've got to find something new that won't deplete the ozone layer. And Michael O'Brien from Tropic Ocean Prawn says if the trial on his boat works, it's going to be a win not just for the fishermen financially, but for the environment too.
The gases that they're phasing out, we've paid up to $160 a kilo for them. The newer gas that we're putting in goes for about $35 a kilo. So there's a massive saving just on gas alone. So, yeah, they're our benchmarks, is to a system that doesn't leak and a system that freezes as well or better than what we had in there.
And it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's trout cam.
Yes, it can take hours to drive up to the lakes of Tasmania, of the Tasmanian plateau, to catch a fish. There's an easy way to find out what's biting because you can just look on the internet. Tasmania's trout cam is proving a huge success. Anglers Alliance Tasmania set up 9 webcams in the state's lakes and creeks so anglers could go on the net and get a 24-hour picture of conditions at their favourite fishing spots. Apparently it's been huge and it's led to a lot more people wanting to fish and inquiring about trout fishing in Tasmania. Operator of Trout Territory Fishing Tours, Gary France, says he's heard of interest from all over the world.
It's astounding how many people are actually looking at these cameras per month, thousands. And it's not just Tasmania. They're looking at the situations from Melbourne, where they come from, visitors, etc. So it's valuable for visitors. It's valuable for tourism. It's valuable for safety. And it's valuable for information when you want to go out and plan a day.
And it's much easier to look at a trout on the internet than to actually catch one.
Yes, it reminds me of the sort of tendency to go, gee, I wonder how heavily it's going to rain when it's raining outside, and online you go to the radar. Amazing. Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
You can find all of those stories, of course, online at abc.net.au/rural.